Welcome to Get Uncomfortable with Dakota and Shay, the podcast where we discuss why we enjoy seeking out challenges and how this stimulates personal and professional growth.
The goal of this podcast is to help you learn to welcome adversity into your daily routine. Through discussion, we want to show you how seeking out challenges will help you grow in all areas of your life.
We plan to cover topics such as surrounding yourself with the right people, the importance of physical exertion, learning new and difficult skills, and many others. We hope you enjoy the show. What's up, friends? Welcome back to another episode of Get Uncomfortable. Before we get into today's show, I just want to remind you today's show is brought to you by Enlightened Athlete. Head over to enlightenedathlete.com, enter in your information on the homepage there, and we will send you a free copy of the Enlightened Athlete Nutrition Protocol. So this is a PDF document that you'll be able to download that will teach you how to eat, basically how much to eat. So we're talking about portion control. We talk about some mental strategies that are necessary for that, what kind of foods are better to eat, what macronutrients are, how that all breaks down. It's just a quick overview that will help you get your nutrition in check. We also have the Enlightened Athlete Protocol, which is our remote coaching program. So in that, we're going to look at everything from your lifestyle, how you're eating, your stress management, your sleep routine, what your exercise routine is, and then we will create a custom plan for you to get you moving in the right direction. So if you're interested in that, head over to enlightenedathlete.com and send us an email. Okay, so today's episode kicks off with us diving into a study where they were looking at the effects on emotional well-being as far as an exercise program goes. So they had a counseling group and an exercise group. And it looked as if the exercise group, at the end of the study on self-reporting, the exercise group outperformed the counseling group as far as emotional well-being went. But when we got into the study, I'm not even sure they were doing counseling. I don't think that they were doing like one-on-one counseling sessions with a therapist. It sounds like they were just doing like lifestyle education at seminars or something. Maybe we're wrong, but we kind of talked about how we would like to see a study that would look at all of those things together. You'll hear it in the episode, but we ended up talking about how doctors will give nutritional advice sometimes, maybe when that's not their scope of practice, and people will take it as gospel. And we just talked about how important it is to question everything. Like, you should question everything you hear all the time. Make sure that the research that you're doing lines up with that, and make sure that you're diving into that so you have the most informed decision. You can make the most informed decision for yourself based on your health. We're obviously not giving medical advice. We say that often. We're just talking about things we would like to see, things we would like to have happen. But we ended up talking about functional medicine doctors at the end. And Dakota had asked me if functional medicine doctors actually go through like medical school, the traditional medical school. And I was not sure, so I wanted to look it up, and this is what I found. Functional medicine doctors have gone through traditional medical school training. They may choose to get additional certification from an organization such as the Institute for Functional Medicine. Doctors then apply functional medicine teachings to their original field of practice. So they are what appears to be MDs based off this website that I'm reading here. And the other thing I want to make very clear is what we're trying to highlight in this episode is the importance of your physical health on your mental health, and your mental health on your physical health. So you cannot dissect those two. You cannot remove them from each other. They are intertwined. They are integrated. And if you are struggling with mental health stuff, a lot of times improving your physical health will have a positive effect on your mental health, and vice versa as well. Improving your mental health will typically have an improvement. You will see an improvement in your physical health in that case as well. There's a lot of research on that. Like C-reactive proteins and cytokines, if you have inflammatory markers that they can measure through blood work, if you can bring those down, a lot of times it will correlate with decreased symptoms of anxiety and or depression. So just keep that in mind, that what we're trying to do in this episode is talk about the importance of both. You cannot do one or the other. One should not take the place of the other. They need to be in conjunction. And we also talked about maybe like seeing an integrative practice, integrative modalities, where maybe the doctor and your nutritionist and your personal trainer like work together as a unit. I've not ran into that very often. There's a couple times I've seen that, and a couple clients have done that with me. I would like to see that very often, where the doctor and the nutritionist and the strength coach and whatever, they're kind of like working together in an integrative practice. So that's what we're talking about. It may seem like we were coming at it from an adversarial standpoint, where it's like, well, they don't know what they're doing, we don't know what we're doing, and blah, blah, blah. It's not that. We're trying to work through problems here. We're presenting problems. We're thinking about things and trying to present them in a way that we would like to see them, that potentially would be beneficial for people that we work with, people that they work with. And obviously, it's not a perfect world, but talking about this stuff, I think, kind of gets us a little bit closer. So with that being said, I hope you guys enjoy today's episode. All right, everybody, welcome back to Get Uncomfortable. I'm in studio today with Dakota Soucy. We're going to start this podcast off with a study. There was a study that came out looking at the benefits of physical activity versus counseling. That's what the study was looking at. But what I want to highlight is the importance of both. So there's an integral relationship between the mind and the body and the body and the mind. It goes both ways. You can't focus on just one and expect the other to be okay. So if you are solely focusing on counseling, meditation, you know, cognitive behavioral therapy, that's all the things that you're focusing on, and you don't ever take care of your body, you don't pay attention to physical activity, you don't pay attention to what you're eating, that has a really negative effect on your body. I know people personally who do this. They eat like shit. They don't exercise at all. They don't get any sunshine. They're not outside. But they're going to therapy, and they're on this medication. They're on that medication, and they're constantly wondering why they're so anxious and why they don't feel good.
I know a few people like that.
Yeah. I think
sure everybody knows at least one person
yep.
like that.
Yep.
If not multiple.
And it goes the other way too, I'm sure. I don't know as many people that, because there's a ton of research out there showing the positive effects on your mental state from physical activity. So I don't know a ton of people that work out really hard that really, really, really struggle with anxiety and depression and can't function in life, because of the positive effect that physical activity and the diet has on your mind.
Right.
I'm sure there are cases where it goes, and I'm not saying people who exercise don't struggle with depression, anxiety. Like, everybody
there are some
has that.
Like, there are some has that anxiety. That, like, overdo it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I would say, and, like, they're the opposite end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
They work out a lot.
And they never pay attention to how they're feeling. But they hate
themselves for some reason.
Yeah.
and they're depressed.
Well, a lot of people get sucked into thinking that exercise is solely about your aesthetics, right? Your physical appearance, about building biceps and abs. And there's so much more to exercise than just the physical advantages. It's more than burning calories or burning fat or building muscle. It's so much more than that. And that's what I've talked about, and that's what I've thought my whole life. And I know you think the same thing. Mm-hmm. So the interesting thing is, you know, I was listening. It was Andrew Huberman. He was talking about this, where he said they were doing fMRI scans on people's brains as they were doing an exercise test to exhaustion. So it was cyclists going to exhaustion.
Mm-hmm. And give them background if people don't know who Andrew Huberman is.
Andrew Huberman is, I believe,
PhD in neuroscience.
Yes, at Stanford. Let's look him up.
He's a really smart guy.
God, he's so smart. He's very, very smart. Let's see.
But he studies a lot. He studies a lot of, like, sports-related stuff, does he not?
Yes.
Or, you know, physical training-related stuff.
Okay, here it is. Dr. Andrew Huberman is a tenured professor of neurobiology and ophthalmology at Stanford University School of Medicine. So
ophthalmology.
Yeah.
That's wild.
He talks a lot about the eyes. This guy's no bullshit. But he was talking about they were doing the fMRI scans on somebody going to physical exhaustion. And he says, when people quit, it's typically not a physical lack. Like, they can't do it physically.
Really?
There's a part of the brain that lights up on the fMRI scan, and it's emotional regulation.
Uh-huh.
And he's saying it's like an emotionally protective mechanism.
Huh.
So you stop before you get hurt. Like, you think you're getting tired. You feel the burn.
So these are, like, professional cyclists or just people that they're having get on a bike to kill themselves?
Yeah, I don't know.
I would like to look at that.
I bet it's similar.
I mean, either way, yeah.
Because even when you're, like, I can say, like, even when you're good at that, even when you're good at pushing through that initial voice.
Can you shut that off?
That, like, voice, I'm sure some people can.
You think so?
Humans are varied, right?
Well, I'm just wondering if I've ever shut it off, because there's been a lot of times I'm like,
you just ignore it. You push through it.
I want to die.
Well, he said,
keep going.
The benefit is, like, the people who do the best on these tests and the athletes who do the best are typically the ones who can detach from their emotions.
Oh, okay.
So that voice like still comes up because it is like a protective mechanism, like telling you to stop. If everybody like had an orgasmic experience every time they ran to complete exhaustion, like you would never do anything else. You would never
We'd have a lot of really good people, really good runners in the world.
Yeah. You would burn through all your resources. You would burn through because in the evolutionary history of humans, we didn't have an abundance of calories to replace all that energy expenditure. So it would make sense that that would not be like...
It triggers something to stop protective mechanism emotionally. Yeah.
But he talked about the people who could detach from the emotions because like when you're running really hard and you're very exhausted, your brain is telling you to stop and your legs are on fire.
You can't do it.
You have battery acid running through your veins. But you can shut that off and you can keep going.
Yeah.
The people who can do that very well are typically the highest performers on in this study that he was talking about.
Uh-huh.
I'll see if I can find the study. Yeah, but here's the study I want to talk about today. I thought this was pretty interesting. So this is the title of the study. A 16-week concurrent exercise program improves emotional well-being and emotional distress in middle-aged women. It's a random randomized control trial. Basically, they said the objective was to analyze the influence of a supervised concurrent exercise program on emotional well-being and emotional distress in middle-aged women. What they did was the methods of this study. This randomized controlled trial included 150 middle-aged women recruited for the project. Participants were allocated into the counseling group, 75 in the counseling group, or exercise group, 75. The counseling group attended conferences on healthy lifestyle, including diet and physical activity topics. The exercise group followed a 60-minute concurrent aerobic and resistance exercise training for 3 days a week for 16 weeks. Emotional health was assessed using the positive and negative affect schedule. In this, they abbreviated to PANAS, P-A-N-A-S. Let's see, ranging from 10 to 50. It doesn't really matter. The results were the total number of women for the protocol analysis was 111 divided into the counseling group and the exercise groups after adjusting for body mass index and Mediterranean diet adherence, which is strange. I don't know why they put that, but that's a good diet. And let's see, respectively.
I guess it's significant.
It's significant.
Maybe that had an effect.
So they divided them through and then they added it all up. Yeah. They checked out. They basically, this was like self-reporting, it sounds like to me. But the conclusion was a 16-week concurrent exercise program improved emotional experience in middle-aged women. Specifically, women in the exercise group significantly improved their emotional well-being and emotional distress through greater changes in positive affect and negative affect compared with the counseling group.
Okay, we need to put this in English because... Not only I, but I'm sure a lot of other people that are going to listen have no fucking idea what any of that means.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't when I first read it either. I had to look through it a couple times.
So you've got two groups of women, right?
Mm-hmm.
One is doing therapy only, correct?
Now, this is where I mean, I think it's a good study, but I don't like the way that they did it because if you look at the methods... They said the counseling group attended conferences on healthy lifestyle, including diet and physical activity topics. That's all it says about that.
The counseling group did. Okay, so they learned. They got educated from conferences on diet and physical activity.
That's what it sounds like.
Okay.
So I
and
don't know.
And then what was the other group, though?
The exercise group?
That was the exercise group plus therapy?
No.
No, just exercise.
Yeah, there was a the therapy group in quotations because it doesn't sound to me like if that's what they did, they didn't do therapy. They were just educated. Like a therapy session would be sitting down and doing.
So the therapy was to get educated on diet and exercise?
It says the counseling group attended conferences on healthy lifestyle.
What were the objectives?
Physical activity topics.
What were they trying to show?
To analyze the influence of a supervised concurrent exercise program on emotional well-being and emotional distress in middle-aged women.
Okay. A supervisor, that's key.
Yeah.
So they were coached through an exercise routine for 16 weeks, whereas the other women were not coached.
Correct.
Through an exercise regimen.
They didn't have a plan.
They just got educated on the topic of diet and exercise.
Now, I don't know if they were doing one-on-one or even group therapy, which they may have done. This didn't go into too much detail to that, but I know a lot about the therapy side of things because my wife is a therapist. Now, I'm not saying, and this study is not saying, that you should do exercise instead of therapy. That's not the case.
But the, okay, but was there any therapy at all? Like, is that even?
I'm just reading what I have on this journal site. That's the, I read what they. That's all they put.
That's it. They didn't. They didn't distinguish whether or not it was like psychological therapy.
But I would no. They don't distinguish in this. But I would imagine if they called them, I mean, they literally called the group a counseling group.
Counseling. You could get counseled on exercise and diet.
That's true.
You know what I mean? I don't know. I mean, I just want to make sure that I'm understanding it correctly. Were they looking at therapy or was it just, you know, who's going to, what were the mental health effects of really making sure that you're coached? You know what I mean? Through diet and exercise.
Right. Well, I think it's good. I don't think that they were counseling on, they did a lifestyle, healthy eating and stuff like that. So it could have been a group therapy session. I mean, it could have been that group therapy session where obviously exercise is going to outperform a group therapy session where somebody's trying to educate you on the diet and lifestyle. It's not going to have any physical effect on your body.
Right. You have to implement it yourself. So I'm assuming that a lot of them wouldn't, they didn't implement that themselves, whereas the other group was forced through it for 16 weeks, not forced, but
held accountable,
coached, whatever. And then the results were pretty much what you would expect.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess they had to have something to compare it against. That's what they have to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like, I mean, you could have just measured without the counseling group, right? Because when I read this initially, it sounded like, oh, somebody was doing therapy for their emotional well-being.
Well, we just came up with a really interesting study of... This is what I thought it was, and this is what I think someone should put together a study like this. Therapy as a constant between the two groups, and then a 16-week exercise regimen in one group, and see which group improves, like mental health.
That's what I want.
That would be really interesting.
That's what I want.
That's a really intriguing study.
And I don't think, I mean, in the scientific world, you have to do something that pits something against something else to prove the efficacy of what you're trying to measure. So I understand it. But the terminology that they used in
They should have been more specific. Yeah,
they should have said education.
Right.
On emotional well-being versus...
Not counseling. Like, right. Especially when we're talking about mental health is in the subject of the study.
Right.
But still significant, right? Go over the...
Yes. So what we can say is that the physical activity did have a significant effect on their affect, their outlook on life. There's no question about that. So at the end, the conclusion, we'll go over it again. A 16-week concurrent exercise program improved emotional experience in middle-aged women, specifically women in the exercise group, significantly improved their emotional well-being and emotional distress through greater changes when compared with the counseling group. Again, I don't know what the counseling was. There's no way to know that. But this highlights the importance of physical activity on emotional well-being.
It does, yeah. That's regardless of everything else. That's kind of the bottom line of it.
But also counseling is super, super effective. If you're doing real counseling, cognitive behavioral therapy, whatever, there's multiple different methods out there. You will get a benefit from implementing the coping mechanisms, talking through the problems with someone. Like, that's very effective. I don't know if that's what they did, but this is the problem with science, right? Yeah. Like, there's so many different studies being put out contradicting each other. And it all, this is the other thing too, people forget about. I hear a lot of people say, trust the science, trust the science, trust the science. Yes, you should. And you should be able to decipher and research and understand where it comes from. But also, studies that are published are funded by someone. And a lot of times, they will have gone through a lot of studies that did not have the outcome that they wanted.
They'll cherry pick.
Yep. And they'll throw those away and they'll post the one that made it look the best for their idea.
Or they, you know, they give you money to do a study. And if your study doesn't end up proving, they'll manipulate it. They'll manipulate what they're saying, what they're examining. Right. They'll manipulate the variables in order to prove what they want to prove.
Right. They'll make it say what they want it to say.
The entities that fund the studies. they'll, you know, they'll not force, but, you know, they'll encourage the scientists to manipulate variables.
Right.
To show what they want.
So, you know, with all of that being said and everything we just went through.
I sound like a conspiracy theorist now. God damn it.
No, I mean, this that's known that that's happened for a long time. Like, there's no question about that.
You know what? There's a lot of really, really good examples of, I know we're getting off on a tangent here, but there's a lot of good examples of that in Michael Pollan's book, In Defense of Food. We should look into that sometime for a podcast. Okay. Because it's crazy what they used to do in like the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, maybe even 80s. I don't remember all the examples, but there's some really messed up examples of, you know, lobbying with like the FBA, FDA and everything. I mean, government agencies, like studies proving that you should eat this or eat that or this is healthy and this is safe and blah, blah, blah. When it's really not. Anyways. So the back to the study. They improved. What were they measuring? I'm interested in what they were measuring.
Yeah, so the way that they measured this, emotional health was assessed with the positive and negative affect schedule. It's like a questionnaire.
Questionnaire. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Makes sense.
There's questions, you answer them, self-reporting, right? But isn't your mental health, emotional well-being, that would be of self-reporting?
Yeah,
anyway.
You're going to self-report. Yeah, yeah. There's
no way around that. So, I mean, but what this is highlighting for me is the importance, the benefits of physical activity is much, much, much beyond just aesthetics. It's not about being vain. I know a lot of people who don't work out. I've heard a lot of people say this over my years in doing this work. I don't care if I have a six pack. I'm not going to work out. I'm not going to be some vain asshole in the gym looking in the mirror like, dude, you are completely missing the point.
First of all, shut up.
Yeah, like, shut up.
Looking better. Nobody actually means that when they say, oh, I don't really care if I look better or feel better. I guess feeling better is a different story. But I mean, come on, let's be real.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to like it if you look better. You're gonna like what you see in the mirror if you start looking better and making progress.
Yeah.
That's a real motivator for some people.
For almost all people.
For almost all people. But then I think a lot of people discover once they get into improving their lifestyle through exercise and consistently implementing it, they realize that there's other things that come with it, right? That we're talking about. That's the main reason why we do what we do, is because there's a lot of other stuff that comes with it, like the mental side of things.
Yep.
Improves your mental health. You feel better. Like everything works better. I mean,
everything.
Your focus is better. Discipline is better. Like it overflows and overlaps into other areas of your life.
It is a cascading effect. I mean, it's literally like the snowball effect.
Right.
You start to get your shit together physically, and then all of a sudden, you just did something in the gym that you didn't think you'd ever be able to do or ever be able to finish, and you're like, "Holy shit, I did that!" And that gives you power. Like, that is energy. That gives you power to say, like, "Well, maybe this other thing I thought I couldn't do at work or in business, maybe I can do it."
Right.
You know, and you can push through that a little bit. You learn to, you know what I always say is you kill that inner bitch. Like, there's a big inner bitch in our brain that tells us not to do stuff or be lazy today.
Some people work out, but they don't work out hard and really challenge themselves because of that. Because they think, they're like, oh, I don't want to be sore. Like, it hurts too much and blah, blah, blah.
I can't,
you know, there's
believe
a lot
that.
Of us. There's a lot of different excuses, but, it's just, it's funny because they're not getting that benefit, like, of pushing towards that and pushing hard. Like you said, it's going to overlap into, like, their work life and their family life and their emotional health and mental health. I mean, there's so many benefits.
I mean, I mean, this is what I see, and this is what I want to help people avoid, is that mindset of, like, my mental health is poor, which that happens, right? Like, that's a part of life. Things happen. Sometimes it's situational. Sometimes it is a chemical imbalance. Sometimes it's this and that. But like, if your mental health is poor and you're completely neglecting the physical side of things, you're not paying attention. You're eating processed junk food all the time. You're drinking tons of pop. You're not drinking water. You're not getting any physical activity.
That's why I mentioned that the diet that they were doing was probably significant, because I know there's studies out there. Go look them up. Maybe we'll get into them someday. But there's studies out there that examine diet plus, or they examine the diet and how it's related to your mental health.
Yeah.
There's facts about it.
Right.
For sure.
Well, and there's other research on there that shows an increase in like C-reactive protein, like cytokines, inflammatory markers. When they're really high, that coincides with higher rates and reporting of anxiety and depression.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's funny because there's inflammation is very common these days.
Oh, wow. Is it? You don't say.
With McDonald's and Wendy's floating around everybody's car. Like
everybody's eating fucking sugar, drinking sugar, eating processed food. And the other, okay, I'm going to get on a real rant. I'm not going to
do that. We're getting on a rant, bud. Let's go.
But if you know, your diet has an effect because it can lower inflammatory markers. Like, there's been so much research on that over the last 60 years.
I have a question for you.
Maybe I don't know the answer.
No. Well, have you ever seen the documentary Super Size Me?
Yeah, it was
did you ever see that?
Long
it's
time
old.
Ago.
It's really old. But the guy on there, I forget his name. He's done a lot of different documentaries like that. But he was like, I mean, he gained a shitload of weight and he felt like shit, but then he was like getting depressed.
Yeah.
He started to get depressed eating McDonald's every day until he would eat McDonald's. And then he was like reporting like, gosh, when I have this McDonald's and I'm eating it, like it feels so good. Like the wave of depression and like dullness goes away for a moment. And then I get the endorphin rush of eating the McDonald's. And then he's like, then afterwards I feel terrible. Like I feel even worse. And I'm like, yeah, there's something to that for sure. Like that shit is not good for you.
No.
A moment of mouth pleasure for the rest of the time you feel like shit. Like,
I think that's too common. Yeah, you're literally sacrificing your emotional and mental well-being, and your physical well-being, like your lifespan, your health span is being decreased for moments of mouth pleasure. Now, do I enjoy a good fucking cheat
Big
day?
Big Mac.
Yeah, sometimes I do.
Hell yeah, you know, sometimes.
Once a month.
Sometimes it makes me, gives me instant stomach cramps.
Yeah, you know what? When I have...
I can't really eat it anymore.
When I eat a lot of pizza, like if I get a pizza, somebody gets a pizza, like helping somebody move.
Oh, I can eat the shit out of pizza.
But, so can I. But the next day, my gut is tore up.
Is it?
Like severely.
Mine's fine.
I cannot. So see, that's an example right here of the differences.
All that bread.
It fucks me up. Yeah, and I can eat bread, but if I eat two slices of bread, it's different than a whole pizza.
True.
And sometimes I'm an asshole and I eat a whole pizza. That doesn't make me a bad person, and being overweight doesn't make you a bad person. We're not trying to say, we're not judging people on their moral character by this. We're saying you're going to feel better, you're going to be happier if you can look at both sides of the coin. The mental side affects the physical side, and the physical side affects the mental side.
Well, and that's like, I mean, it's kind of an old saying, you know, balance and everything or whatever. It's really cliche and stupid. It kind of sounds stupid and corny, but like it's true.
So true.
You have to balance everything. You have to balance physical and emotional and mental and spiritual health.
Yeah. Like
that's the way we live, man.
I mean, if you don't, if something is out of balance, you can tell.
It's gonna throw the rest of it off.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, you got too much weight on one side, the other side's going to be all jacked up.
It's a scale, right?
Right, right.
Like, if it's off, it's off. And you got to get that back in balance. And yes, this takes work. Yes. Here's the other thing. With everything that's going on right now, so many people are worried about so many things, but nobody wants to actually do the research. Like, we have access to PubMed. We have access to the internet. You have access to do the research on things that are bothering you. Like, I have a relative, their mom, just got diagnosed with type 2 diabetes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I must not have heard about this.
So, yeah, it's fairly, it's, I'm not personally related to this person.
Oh, okay.
They went into the doctor and they got their nutrition counseling session with the nutritionist, and they were telling them what to eat. And I was like, what did they tell you to eat? Out of curiosity.
There was a nutritionist that was in on this, mm-hmm. on a treatment plan?
They're hired by the doctor's local? Office at the hospital. Yeah, local.
Okay.
It's common to get a counseling session, right? Uh-huh. Counseling in
quotations. So what'd they say to eat?
A high amount of carbohydrates.
Really?
Which has the highest effect on insulin. Which
really?
Yes. Yes. I don't remember the exact amounts that she told me, but I remember when she told me how many grams per day of carbohydrates to shoot for, I was like, holy shit, why?
Dude.
Why?
I would like to know.
And I'm sure not everybody does this. The specifics on it. I'll find them out.
And no, not everybody does this, but like, what the hell are we doing here?
Well, okay, but here's my point.
I think there's some lazy people.
Here's where I'm going. Yes, there's lazy people, but also people take the word of anybody. I mean, some people, it's a person on the news. They take their word for it and they don't question it. They take the doctor's word for it. They don't question it.
I hate sounding like that asshole that questions everything, but I am that asshole that questions everything.
People need to question because she did.
Even professionals that have letters behind their names.
Yes. I like it when people question what I'm telling them.
I do too.
Because if I'm doing something faulty, I want to fix it. But let me get through
this.
Yeah,
sorry.
So she started doing a little bit of research, not much, on diabetes websites, really? Lifestyle change websites,
uh-huh.
figured out how she actually needs to eat, and was like, holy shit, I cannot believe that they told me that. So she stopped eating like they were telling her to. She started eating, you know, meats, vegetables, a little bit of fruit, unprocessed foods,
yeah.
and started losing weight. A1C
really?
Started improving.
Really?
Started feeling better.
Oh, what a surprise.
Because she did the minimal amount of research. So if everybody has such strong opinions on everything,
there's
and I've
so
talked to people about
information
this,
out there.
They don't do the
we,
research.
Yeah, we can just go get it. You can get it from NCBIM or whatever the hell that website is. PubMed, you know.
PubMed is a good one.
Both of those websites, I use them pretty frequently.
Yeah, so do I.
And it's just like the free studies are there. Like,
and I don't expect
some
everybody.
Some of them you don't have to buy. You can see most of the abstracts for like almost all of them.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure all of them
on
you can
PubMed.
See. On, yeah. Well, the other one too.
Yeah.
That I can't, I don't know what it actually is.
I have
is,
to look it up.
It's, anyways, yeah, that's crazy. It's kind of disgusting that you've got a local professional prescribing something like that that's incorrect.
It's just behind the times.
And that's where I was going with it. It's probably what they learned 15 years ago, and they're still using the same shit. And that's what drives me nuts about these healthcare professionals.
I've thought about this.
It drives me fucking nuts.
It's annoying.
It happens all the time. Your MD, your nutritionist, your, you know, whatever, that's in their 40s or 50s, sometimes even 30s. Well, probably not, because they're more up to date because they just graduated
their
program. But anyways, they're fucking outdated. They're doing the shit that they were doing in the 80s and 90s.
Well, and they have a standard of care that they have to adhere to. And the standard of care needs to be researched and validated and put through the paces for years to become the standard of care. Like, you can't just be recommending crazy shit all the time. Now, there are people
not
go out
crazy and, shit. I'm not advocating for that.
But they're not updating it. They're not updating it.
But who's, you know, I'd like to know how that works a little more, because maybe
me
I'm
too.
Ignorant. But but who the fuck is saying that I can't treat a patient the way that this peer-reviewed science says is effective?
Right.
Like,
yeah,
who's going to tell me that? I mean, because
that's a good question.
That's how we're innovating, because these people like Andrew Huberman they're at the tip of the spear doing what, you know, they're implementing these new things that they're discovering.
Yep.
And it fucking works.
Yep.
Because, you know, it's all based in facts and evidence.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why people just like stop educating themselves. I think it's laziness.
They coast.
Yeah, they coast the rest of the way through their career.
They don't
keep learning. After they graduate, they do their minimal CEs every 2 years or whatever, and then they fucking coast.
Well, here's the thing I've heard too. So like, as far as lifestyle change goes, who do my clients see more? Me or their doctor? They see their doctor once or twice a year.
Yeah.
For regular checkups, their blood work, this and that. The doctor's like, don't do this, don't do that. I'm sure the doctors have too many people that they're trying to work with on a daily basis. Totally understand it. It's just the way the system is. But also, they're not having any touch point with their patient. I'm having a weekly, if not multiple times a week,
right,
touch points with my clients.
Yeah.
Like, at what point would we be able to have some sort of, like, integrative care where you have a team of people that work together? Like, I talk to your doctor tells me what's going on, we look at the blood work, like, it's an integrative team versus good luck, see you later.
There might be.
Just me.
There may be organizations that function that way.
Not here.
But not here. That's for sure. I mean, somewhere else in a bigger city with bigger population, I bet there is, but I bet it's really, really few and far between. Like, maybe count on two hands the number of organizations that operate that way in the country.
Right.
But
I think it should be more prevalent.
I don't think I know. And that's the thing. We're just, I'm just throwing problems out there and no solutions again, but I don't think that that will ever happen because of the money side of it. And like, I mean, there's a lot of organizations that just, you know, they look for the quick dollar because insurance pays,
mm-hmm.
but insurance does not pay us.
Right.
Even though we may see the person multiple times a week, and I mean, we're preventative for the most part, like, I mean, with what we do.
We're very well versed in positive lifestyle change.
Yeah, positive lifestyle change that prevents chronic disease.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it'll change in the future. Maybe it will. Or maybe, you know, doctors and healthcare providers and stuff will adopt and get better at preventative care. I don't know.
Okay, here's where it comes down to.
More education.
This is what it always comes down to. Personal responsibility.
It does, yeah.
Because I do have clients that do work with their doctor, and they ask them about the things that I tell them, and the doctor asks about what we're doing, but it's never like I get to ask what the doctor's doing.
Yeah.
Or like, why is the doctor saying
that? Well, because they're like, because it's like,
more of an integrative experience.
How can we ask, you know, go into that? Like, they have their scope of practice, right?
That's
and then
so do I.
How do we, like, challenge that, you know, when we have,
I don't want to challenge it
in certain areas, or not challenge it, but discuss it with them, you know. Right. I guess we could do certain things, like,
but the personal responsibility, like
nutrition
side of it,
and exercise,
physical activity. I know
more about
physical activity
than your MD.
Then yeah, like, especially around here. Now,
absolutely,
somebody who is very well versed in that? Maybe that's their scope of practice. Will they know more than me? Yes. And I don't want to make it an adversarial relationship. What I like is when it comes down to the personal responsibility, which I was talking about with the nutrition, you have to have personal responsibility. You need to do the research on stuff if you want to do that, or find somebody who can help you and question everything. Question everything. Think for yourself.
Play the devil's advocate.
When my clients who do that, take that personal responsibility and talk to their doctor about what we're doing. And here I had somebody with diabetes who is no longer on insulin and no longer has to check their glucose because they started doing what, through research, I had looked at.
But nothing was prescribed.
Correct.
No, we didn't
prescribe
anything. But it was guidance.
Guidance. I offer guidance and potential opportunities for them to change their lifestyle. Uh-huh. But they worked also with their doctor closely about the process and asked them, hey, what do you think about this? And hey, what
do
you think about that?
Well, wasn't the doctor, didn't the doctor say like, that won't work. You can try it, but.
Yeah, the doctor did say that.
Yeah, well, he can go fuck himself.
the doctor did say that. But I know great doctors. I'm not trying to make this sound like it's us versus them because we're all on the same team.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know phenomenal doctors that are here in our community.
Yep.
I'm not saying they're all bad guys. I mean, it's just, I think they because they're doctors and they get a semester of nutrition and maybe exercise or something in their schooling. I don't even know if they get anything like that.
I don't think so. Not
nutrition. I know it's like a semester or something like that. And it's like
minimal.
It's very minimal. And you know, why are you suggesting a diet to somebody when you haven't put in the time to learn about nutrition and how it can change, you know, certain health markers.
Right. And
some do, though. There are some that are very passionate about that side of things, and I respect that. And they don't get it in school, but they go further. You know, they take personal responsibility for the overall care of their patient, and they educate themselves.
That's, again, it comes down to personal responsibility. Right. Whatever your profession is, whatever your lifestyle is, like when you start to take responsibility to go above and beyond the basics, things will get better for you. That's why I'm really interested in functional medicine. I think functional med doctors are very interesting because they look at the person as a whole. And they're open to potentially alternative methods of treatment.
Do they go through medical school?
That's a good question. I think so.
I know.
We'll have to look that up. We'll have to come back interesting. To that one because I don't know. Maybe
it's not a big deal, but
I'll just do curious. Is I'll look into it after this episode, and I'll go back and I'll record an intro for this episode, and I'll talk about it at the beginning. Yeah,
good idea.
That's what I'll do. So, and obviously, I'm going to post.
There it is, people. You already know.
Links, yeah, you guys already know the answer to this question. I'll post links to all the studies and stuff that we talked about in here. Not all of them, but the main one that we talked about.
The main one.
And some of the other ones I can find about diet and reduction of C-reactive protein and cytokines.
That's a good one.
Inflammatory markers. But yeah, so the overall, we're going to wrap this up here. The overall idea of this podcast is to stop focusing so hard on one side of the coin. Like, focus on your physical health to improve your mental health. Focus on your mental health to help improve your physical health. Because I've heard people say when they're really depressed, it's too hard to even get up off the couch, right? But it's this weird cycle. You have to break it. You have to
break it.
You can't stay in that cycle. So look at both sides of the things. Drink some water. Get some sunshine. Do some squats. Do some meditation. Go to a therapist. And you're going to get your shit together.
Your shit together. And get uncomfortable.
Get uncomfortable.
There it is.
That's it. That's why we named it this. That's why we're doing this shit. Go get uncomfortable. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys. Have a good day.